blessings of love and respect we offer to all. In times past and who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint in religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day, oh, happy blessed place, oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dityampi tatyampi saha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and others as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
They're located in the corner back there. You'd like them to use for seating. And put that back chair, Jack, right on the Zabaton. That would be great. Just a word before we begin this morning. We do record this group on Sunday mornings for monthly donors. So just so folks know, heads up, it is recorded. So what shall we look at this morning? Penny.
I was seeing something with regard to the email class.
So we're just for folks that are new here, that we're in the middle of it's the beginning of an email class. Titled The Big Bamboozle.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we're on the third C, the third way we get caught, which is getting caught in the conditional, getting caught in the sort of bargaining of, if I do this, then this will result.
Yeah.
And I guess that one of the things I was seeing this morning was, I was seeing it in terms of kind of understanding the logic of, okay, if I move, I'll be living in a place I like better. If I get a better job, I'll be happier. I've seen the logic of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I was seeing this morning that was so helpful was seeing the conditional also in terms of how automatic it is.
How automatic it is. It's not that you have to like be consciously thinking, well, if I move,
right.
It's just an automatic.
Just seeing how stimulus response it is, and with regard to all kinds of things, and that basically, conditioning presents a stimulus, and I have learned a conditioned response, and there's no consciousness between the two, and so the automaticness of it was something I guess I was seeing really more clearly this morning.
Yeah. Well, talk about a big bamboozle. You know that we really, it's not even in our conscious awareness, and we're just jumping to or responding to this, what might a dictate that, okay, change this content and then this will result, or, you know, do this and this will result. And
or just the slightest thing, you know, that something happens and what arises is a response that is as automatic as the sensations that arise. And it's an unconscious response, and the practice is to become conscious of the unconscious response, so that there is in fact a gap and a little bit of a choice in there.
Yes, yes. that breath or that whatever it is to, yeah, before the mosquito gets swatted or the, you know, or the, the whatever gets
the
popped in the
mouth.
Or the,
right?
Whatever it is to have that moment.
Yeah, so we can break that. And so it just was helpful because I was, you know, when I read that in the email class, so we learned that if, you know, if this happens, then this. I mean, I understood it. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I understand that. Mm-hmm. But what I didn't see was it goes on all the time. On such a an automatic, unconscious level.
Wow.
Way below the level of, well, I understand that. If I change this, this will happen. Mm-hmm. It's basically just almost built into the system. Well, it is built into the system now. And so how profound it is to look at that and try to see where those connections are happening.
Two things. First of all, that, you know, whenever we hear that thing, well, I understand. That's a
ding,
that's
ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding. That's the first red flag. And then the, you know, as it's just, we talked about it all the time, there's just no room to ever fall asleep. It's just, you know, present moment by moment by moment, being with the breath. And then in that presence, we get to see all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just so much more there for us to see.
And when we see it, when I see it, not to fall into the automatic response of, oh my God, you know, how could I have missed it?
Right.
But just to be grateful to see it.
Yes. Yes.
And what a challenge it is to be a human being,
you know?
Yeah. And try to be a conscious human being. It's a big challenge because we're just immersed.
We are immersed in it.
There's a guy that I used to work with in ministry, and he was in a media ministry, and he talked about that we're in a media marinade. Which I thought was perfect, but you know, we're in a conditioned marinade.
In a conditioned
marinade. And you know, you steep in that for a few years, and it's hard to
or a few lifetimes.
A few lifetimes.
And
it's hard to come up, you know, to the surface.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we're all here because it is the most exciting training in possible.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what else is there? And it may be difficult, but.
Right.
You know. But it certainly is more difficult to be in that unconsciousness without any awareness of other possibilities. So to just be practicing with that. And as you say, to just have gratitude for every moment that we come back here, every moment that we see something.
Mm-hmm.
And to train ourselves in that gratitude. And that trains the seeing when it's received with gratitude rather than that, oh no.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, along those lines, the thing that I saw about the conditional today, I mean, the really overt ones are not a problem to catch, you know? Like, if I lived in a place that was not so hot and dry, I would, you know,
I'd
get
be
that.
Happy all the time.
I'd be happy all the time.
Right.
Except that there it would probably snow or something, you know? But what I got was that, and I've been getting this with every single C that's been coming along in the email class, colluding, comparing, and the conditional, is that there's this, it's the underlying not to be caught conversation that is the place I don't see it.
Uh-huh.
So there's a conditional conversation that isn't ever heard. And it isn't even stated. It's just like this underlying, like, well, if only, or if I don't, or if they don't.
Yeah.
And they don't. It doesn't even have to finish. It doesn't even really say that.
Uh-huh.
And it never finishes a sentence.
Yes. Yeah.
So there's no sense of what actually would happen if I or if they.
Yeah.
But underneath it all is just this underlying current of, what's here now is not as good as what would be some other place and some other time in some other circumstances.
Yes. Yeah, it never lets you know what that other place and time would be, but it just feeds that constant dissatisfaction.
Yeah,
that wow.
That you aren't even supposed to know you're having.
Right, and what's interesting is the dissatisfaction is to that conversation. It's not actually to It's not actually to the experience that we're having if we're present to it.
Right. Oh, right. Right. Yeah. But there are sensations that make it seem like it goes with the experience
exactly.
I'm having.
Yeah, that make it seem so real.
But it isn't. Yeah. It's the conversation that is not even being attended to.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
If we're not attending to it.
Yeah, we're attending. Yeah, attending, but not attending in a conscious
right.
way.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, we're like listening with that ear that's supposed to listen to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And feel the effect of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and what's arising is that's how why it's so helpful even to just tune into body sensations,
mm-hmm. yes.
not to even have to analyze the conversation, or but to just be aware of what's happening with the energy.
Yeah,
and that's a really good key.
It is, and I had such a great experience of that this morning. So I have this big karmic process that goes on with me, and when the story starts up, I get these anxious sensations, and I can't stand them, it feels like, and this is something I've been working on for a long time. But so this morning I was sitting meditation, and one of those thoughts came in that are tended to produce those sensations, and they did. I mean, just massive sensations, and because I was sitting, mm-hmm. I had to mm-hmm. sit with them. Now, it's been my practice to sit with them,
mm-hmm.
but often if I'm doing something else, sitting with them looks like doing something else with
yeah.
them. But just sitting there
yeah.
and just watching them, and they moved from up here down to here and all the way down,
yeah.
and I just watched the whole progression, and then I watched them go away.
Wow.
And yeah. I went, uh-huh.
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 That's the little gateway to freedom.
They don't actually stay, you know, and the only reason they stay around longer other times is because I enter into the conversation that goes with them.
Yeah.
But if I'm just sitting and breathing and paying attention to the sensations, they do their thing, and that's the end of it.
That's the end of it. And you get to see how the whole process works.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've just been, I've been rereading and rereading When You're Falling Dive,
mm-hmm.
and that's one of the exercises that she gives in the book, is that we can actually think of a situation that really triggers mm-hmm. those responses and actually sit and foster that and think about it, so that we get the conditioned response really going,
mm-hmm.
and then sit there and just watch it. So we don't have to wait for some external to trigger it. We can just, you know, take ourselves into the lab and watch it. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
I was on a conversation where someone was talking about their process of that, and just them talking about the sensations that arise and the urgency and the... There they all were.
Yeah. Yep.
It wasn't even my content. It wasn't even my body.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, I understand.
Yeah.
This is how much I understand what you're talking
yeah.
about. I am
yeah.
feeling the my version of that.
And then the other thing that, you know, for us to just get that it's not personal.
Right.
It's just shared by everyone.
Right. Right. I know. And I can get into a conversation about, so you're really weird that this goes on with you.
Yeah.
What, nobody else has this. And then I go, well, maybe not exactly this, but they've got their own
yeah.
whatever it is. And
yeah. Very, very close to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. David.
So that was really great. I'm exploring the same thing in terms of like the idea of sitting still.
Uh-huh.
Through the storm.
Boy, it's our one big weapon, isn't it? That the city's, yeah.
Yeah, it's really powerful. That's the whole thing. And so I had this really neat, kind of this neat realization drop in, and I'll see if I can articulate it or, you know, see if it can come up. But what I saw, or that kind of makes it sound as if like I was doing something to see this. What kind of was there all of a sudden was this true, unlike a felt sense that I don't have any control
mm-hmm.
whatsoever
mm-hmm.
over this process.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've said that before, and a lot of people, you know, we say that quite a bit kind of thing. There truly is no I they can control, you know, it's like the I who thinks he can control it is the very I who is kind of, that's the deal, that's who's stuck.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's the one that processes controlling.
Exactly. That's the one who, you know, I was speaking in group, I think, a couple times ago about this process of like, that's the one who deals with conditioning by coming to resolutions. You know, kind of solving condition, solving condition processes by using conditioning. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, the sensations are gone, so that must have worked. But of course, it's like it's going nowhere. So, anywho, that was the
only where it's going is to keep that identity intact.
And actually get growing stronger.
And growing stronger.
It's like not only maintaining it, but it then becomes how I, you know, deal with life, with the world. I mean, it becomes real. And in essence, it's like that becomes real, that I can control this. So here was the bit that was really neat that kind of came in, and I hope it parlays into being able to speak about it. And that is that the other side of that is, if there isn't an I that can control it, the conversations also cannot control, like coming the other direction. So do you see where I'm going with that? I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get this out or not. I'll try. But the feeling often when identified, or even within that kind of resolution place, or the control, the illusion and the feeling is that I am controlled by this. Like I'm not free, and I have to fight to get through it, to be free of it. And that's the way to go beyond conditioning. That's the way to get out of the whole mess. Then, you know, feel the way I want to feel, have the life I want to have, you know, whatever. It's never that clear, but it's just that that indication that, like, that's the method, that's the modality to get through it. And the insight or the realization that came in was this place of, well, if there is no I that can control it, if it's not a personal process, that also means that there's no I to be controlled by it. You know, so such that, I mean, it takes all the power out of the conversation. So the conversation, when kind of inside that I, that identity, you know, however we want to say this, the me who believes that, feels like it's overwhelming, it's going to destroy me, it's too much, I can't take this, there's kind of victim in there, there's, you know, it's like it's going to crush me, it controls me, and I've got to fight through that somehow. And so that was the other side of the realization was, well, then if the one is true, then the other must be true, that there's not, it can't control. You know, I can't be controlled by it. So it was, again, these are tricky things to put into words, because it, you know, when it comes in kind of an intuitive flash, not a, you know, not an articulate way. But it was just that place of like, it had that sense of like, yeah, this is going to keep arising forever, all of these stories and all of these sensations. But, and this was the sitting still piece with it, so what? If the power isn't there, if the, you know, it's like, you know, I can't think of an example right now, but it's like things that, you know, maybe in childhood were like a really big deal, you know, and were really, you know, like, I don't know, kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, we grew to a different perspective. We grew into a larger perspective of what was possible in life. And that same thing doesn't go away, but it's so inconsequential because the perspective has broadened beyond it. That's what it felt like.
Would you say that you saw that it was all, it's all made up?
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
There's just no need to pay attention to a made-up conversation, either from that I or from that, you know, what we perceive to be egocentric karmic conditioning or self-hate. Mm-hmm. That, you know, there's this larger place that we access in sitting still that is authentic. Yeah. And it does not have to engage in that illusion.
Right.
Of the.
Right, exactly. And the piece also that, you know, kind of on for the karma that I deal with is, it was in seeing that was kind of revolutionary for me, because previous to that there was a genuine belief that, like, the salvation of this being was mm-hmm. in the hands of the monastery, mm-hmm. the guide. Mm-hmm. It didn't say that. Even another, like a partner.
Yeah.
You know, like from childhood, perhaps the authority of mom and dad. Mm-hmm. So the salvation of the being was just getting passed from one mm-hmm. projected authority to another, mm-hmm. even if it wasn't spoken.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so there was always this sense of, I'm not safe anywhere. Mm-hmm. I'm not free anywhere. Because mm-hmm. the illusion was so believable
yeah.
that there was an I who needed to overcome
yeah.
or that could be controlled or that had to control the process. Mm-hmm. And looking from within inside that, nothing feels safe and freedom is never available.
Right.
And so it was just, it was kind of, yeah, it was just stepping beyond that and recognizing that actually the direct opposite is true when I've practiced it enough, what I saw, you know, the practice now comes with all of it, but when I saw practiced enough, no matter where I go or what I do, I'm safe.
Yeah.
No matter where I go or what I do, I'm free.
Yeah.
And that process is not controlled externally, either by a conditioned reality or a projected, you know, projected salvation of that
yeah.
monastery, or a kind of tortured, kind of conditioned
yeah.
version of that.
Yeah,
kind of
thing. Yeah, yeah. And I'm just reminded of reaching that place of taking responsibility for our salvation.
Yeah.
And that place of spiritual maturity. And just really seeing that, you know, it's our connection to what is authentic, that, and our commitment to that, that creates that safety, mm-hmm. creates that place. And it's, you know, pinning it on, you know, it's the same, it's the same process in a way, it seems, that, you know, pinning it out there, either your salvation or your hell.
Exactly. You
know, it's all the same deal.
It's still under
it's
that
still,
illusion that
it's it all can, conditional.
It's all conditional. It can mm-hmm. either be controlled or it is controlling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And even the piece about taking responsibility, you know, kind of intellectually, I've taken that in for a long time. But the I who was taking that in is the same I
yeah.
who was taking responsibility by, you know, trying to solve conditioning by using conditioning.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's just that trap that
yeah.
you know,
and seeing possibly that maybe the responsibility is just
sitting still. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 So I'll stop here, but there's other qualities to it as well that, you know, when these things, I'm sure we've all had the experience, when they come in, they're illumined. And I'm not able to articulate those qualities
yeah.
yet, but there was illumination on different kind of awareness of this yeah. in a way that's kind of still percolating.
And we're changed in that awareness, and it's not necessary to have to even put it to words.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Nor do anything with it.
That's like,
that's
what we're conditioning, want to jump right in and
yeah.
say, well, this means that and that, and now we got to do this.
Totally.
And then, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
You know, because it came, this kind of awareness came in a number of days ago.
Yeah.
And then we, you know, we had a sesshin recently at the yeah. monastery. And so, you know, getting to sit through all of the same stuff coming up, it was kind of evidence that, no, it really doesn't change.
Yeah.
And it's different.
Gift of practice.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. What else? Passion?
So for me, yesterday Tsushin was also very helpful. I get such a distance from what's going on, and kind of almost like I felt like becoming somebody else, or I'm really in that place of stillness, peace, love, abundance, a miracle, and it's kind of hard to leave there, to leave that place. I wouldn't stay there. So
sounds like a great place to live.
Yes.
Abundance, peace.
So I'm taking this walk after, and there's so many things coming out of there in terms of like, wow, I'm listening, I need to make a recording. So I'm making recordings for Pasha, and it just pours, it was almost an hour, I made several different recordings, completely different topics. But what was common is that from that place, it's very clear to see things that are ordinary. I would think like, oh my God, what do I do there? And I go around struggling with something.
So are you saying that it was, it gave you some distance on maybe some habitual patterns or ways of being that, and was it the recording that gave you the distance, and in conjunction with the sesshin and the?
Yeah, recordings. I was just capturing, what I see there, because I'm really in that place, and it's such a difference. Like we went to have a snack, clean the dishes, and then I walk back, and I listen to these recordings, and I'm always. Seeing it from like, wow, those sounds to me now like commandments, like somebody like went up the hill, talked to God, recorded everything.
So just really seeing the difference, who's present and who's doing the recording, and like, wow, who recorded that?
Yes.
He was in touch with, he had a direct line to wisdom.
And I'm so grateful for this environment and this time. And when I was living here for months, like people ask me, well, why are you going? Well, I said, I just want a like quiet space, Why you go there? Couldn't you just go like somewhere else just by itself?
By yourself and conditioning?
Yes, exactly. And conditioning is using that as like a bravado attitude. Sure, I can do it. Mm-hmm. You should do this, and this. Mm-hmm. And here I'm in a bind. Until I do this, and this, I wouldn't even start looking at what's going on. Mm-hmm. So I'm very grateful for this environment and opportunity to be here and supported by everybody. And given space and time and environment that kind of makes difficult for conditioning to stay bound.
Yeah.
For conditioning, it's like Sherry said, it's like solitary confinement.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in prison. I'm in this fight.
It is in prison. Yeah. So just, and to acknowledge that that the heart did make the decision to come to this place. Mm-hmm. Where conditioning was or is in solitary confinement, and it's able to be viewed more clearly than say if you would have just gone off to some Greek island alone and just, been, you know, been in silence with conditioning. Yeah. So just really noticing the gift of and feeling gratitude for the privileged environment that really, really gives that clear distinction between what's the heart and what's egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate.
Yes, and in everyday life, I also make recordings and see things. Like I saw there is a victim, I saw there is addictions that victim gets kind of pulled into like escape from being victimized. But what I saw yesterday is how that victim arises. It's like my co-workers, they did something because just that's the way they just do things. And I take it personally, they did it to me. And then conditioning comes and starts repeats this. And I'm going for a week and every day I hear, well, they did this to you and you have to do that. And I'm already deep into like solving from, you know, like, I already took that assumption, they did it to me. I'm suffering, I'm struggling because the things around me. But what I saw yesterday, I'm a victim because conditioning repeats this every week. I mean, they just step on my toe, it doesn't hurt anymore, but it, the repetition for a week, it's a torture.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Yeah, that's big. So you saw that actually the victim is being a victim to conditioned,
yes.
Constant conversation of conditioned mind,
yeah.
Where in fact the co-workers, you know, they've got their own conditioning going on in their heart, but they're probably not, you know, planning how to victimize Kasha on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But it would convince you that that's what's going on with them and not have you see that it's actually that system that is victimizing.
Yes. Yeah. And then conditioning would present like, well, the only way from here is this condition. You have to go with your addictions and then you'll get like a short-term relief from that abuse.
Yeah, if we indulge, yeah, that, again, what conditioning is telling us will be the relief. If you indulge those addictions, then there'll be some kind of peace attached to it.
Yeah. And to some degree, it's true as attention goes, like swung into completely different like state and the body changes. You know, temporarily I forget how it's happened, but then I'm pulled into like whole another big process of abuse.
Yeah, exactly.
And in both processes, it's kind of internal kind of a child abuse going on.
Yeah.
And I'm pulled here into like tears just to speak this out, because this child abuse is constant, is going on, and nobody sees this.
Yeah.
But when I say it, it becomes kind of a different quality. I start to, my heart is moved with the child.
When it goes unexamined, it's just, it's often just kept under the surface, like, and I don't know, and this isn't what you said, but I know this has been my experience. Well, it doesn't matter, it's just me, you know, I'm, you know, and then to actually say it out loud and see the abuse that's going on, and that it really moves you to compassion for that young person that is actually keeps receiving that abuse over and over and over again without anyone there to protect it.
And some of the recordings were also recordings about my commitment, how I'm going to help the child.
Yeah. So just really record it in, you know, how you want to be there for that child.
And also recording the reassurances for him that everything is fine. And look.
Yeah.
It's so different here. We are in love.
It's so different to be present in love with that. Yeah. so different to be present in love than it is to be a victim of the abuse. Yeah, just really seeing that.
Yeah, one of the ways I experience with conditioning it's like it talks to itself. You know, I'd be sitting here doing something, or you know, meditating, or doing anything, and if I'm more or less present, you know, and aware, I can hear it talking. One piece of conditioning talking to another piece of conditioning, which is what we're talking about. Uh-huh. You know, it doesn't. Some of the stuff at this point doesn't have a place to land, so they're talking above me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So you're seeing that the conditioning is talking to itself,
right?
And you actually can watch it do that instead of taking it personally and think that, you know, that somehow this conversation has something to do with you.
Yeah, that is a possibility, yes.
Yes.
And because the thing which we've been practicing for such a long time is not be in a relationship to it, not be one of the parts, uh-huh. You know, not be the I that's yeah. listening to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And just to notice. Yeah, and I think after a lot of noticing it, that's how it started feeling. And so that's one, you know.
After a lot of noticing, that's how it started feeling, like you could see the distance on it.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't have to be involved with it.
Yeah.
Because if I'm involved with it, I'm one part of the I, and
yeah.
you know, identified with one of them, and it's usually the one that's getting the... the bad end of it, you know.
Yeah. And I think you made a really great point. It was the noticing that brought you to that place. It wasn't like setting out as a doing, you know, to fix this thing and find out, but to just continual practice of noticing what was going on.
Yeah, this is actually the first time I saw it. I think I was meditating, because it likes to tell me how I'm not doing it right. And so I would just see it, you know, and I suddenly realized I wasn't a part of that. You know, I was just noticing what was going on. Uh-huh. And then another thing I was noticing, and I have noticed, but noticed it again because of the email class, is this anticipating the next moment. And it's, I mean, speak of it being pervasive. You know, there's a moment and it's like conditioning always wants to anticipate the next moment.
Yeah.
And that's going to be in some ways better than the moment you're in. I'm in. And so I was running the other day, and God, it's hard, you know, and I could hear it saying, when will this be over so I can get to the next part of the exercises or something. And when I'm doing that, when I'm in that conversation, when I'm part of it, or not even part of it, because I wasn't part of it, but I was listening to it and believing it. So I was identified with, the part that was hearing it. It is hard. Yeah. All the sensations are hard.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, miserable. But I know this trick too, and I was able to, you know, disidentify. And it was just practical. I was actually just exploring it, the difference, okay? So now I'm present, you know, that's always in quotes. And that's not there. The sensations aren't there. I'm enjoying the running, you know, and it's great.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And that happens in every moment. If I'm there, the moment is joyful. That's the process of, I guess, not suffering, of course, not being caught up in that relationship. And the moment is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as I become one of the eyes that is believing, I get the sensations.
Yeah.
That, this could be over, I hate this, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And So that's why, as you were saying, sensations for me is really are really important, because then if I miss that part, you know, the discussion part, the part of the conditioning talking, I'm noticing the sensations, mm-hmm. and then I know exactly what's mm-hmm. been going on, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm saying, oh, I so wish this is over, blah, blah, blah. And that could be about taking minutes or something, mm-hmm. typing in. That's one thing conditioning doesn't like, put it that way. But when I'm there present, it's interesting, and it's like a puzzle, and uh-huh. you know, and uh-huh. so, and then when I'm not, it's a drag.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting. Every moment can be a drag,
right?
Or it can, and we're suffering, or, you know, it can be joyful.
Joyful.
And it's the same exact content.
Yeah, the content doesn't have to change at all, and it just, it sounds like what you're describing is the experience between life living and just life running, life, you know, taking notes, whatever, and an I, you know, trying to do those things and hearing a conversation about what it's doing the whole time and how what a misery that is.
Yeah, if I'm caught up into the yeah. in the relationship yeah. with it, and yeah, it is. It's just life living, and I think the wonder of it for in our practice is that we can take any moment and just explore that and just go back and forth and back and forth and see that that's what's going on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just take any moment and explore it.
Yeah, so the trick is, if we're not happy in that moment, is to, like we're saying, sit still, it seems, and get present and see that I can be happy in this moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that happened. And even if it's for a minute, you know, and then we keep practicing it. We, uh-huh. I think we can, you know, speed it up, do it faster, keep it longer, whatever it is.
Yeah, so just coming back to the moment and, you know, checking it out. Just being here. And then, you know, we notice, huh, I've been in a conversation, or huh, you know, everything's good right now. I mean, actually, everything's yeah. terrific.
It is, and so the sensations are the clue.
Yeah.
And because we can miss a lot of the what's yeah. under the surface,
it
you
is.
Know, it's just assumptions it and is. Beliefs. And of course, if I'm feeling the sensations, some part is believing it, and that's our clue to explore.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a wonderful practice that way, because it's not a mystery. The sensations are the, you know, the door that can open the,
they are.
The you know, to solve the mystery. So.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I know, again, in When You're Falling Dive, she talks about just being aware even of the state of the mind. And to just, you know, what a state is the mind in?
Yeah.
And it just has brought a lot of awareness to that for me. You know, God, my frontal lobes, yeah, it's true, they're like in a knot, you know. And, you know, and when I see that, I realize, oh my gosh, there's been somebody there just trying to figure it out and figure it out and figure it out, you know.
Yeah.
And that's interesting.
Yeah,
so, you know, there must be a conversation going on about, you know, how to figure this out, and to just come back here, relax, and then just invite the next moment.
Yes, and when you're saying that, I'm realizing too that one of the things that trip us up, me up anyhow, is if somebody else is involved, because then uh-huh. it gives conditioning a lot of, you know,
yeah.
ability to blame, you know, or it's their fault, or they should never, they did it, and, you know. And yet it's the same exact process as mm-hmm. to, you know, just kind of physically, or at least virtually, remove yourself from the situation, mm-hmm. and then start, again, looking at the sensations, mm-hmm. and do the exact same process
yeah.
of what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, I'm identified with some part
yeah.
that's not feeling too good.
Yeah, that just goes back to what was talked about earlier, that victim identity, you know, to just, yeah, when that's coming up, you know, just an example right. of, you know, to just see, yeah, I'm hating my coworkers, you know. It might be a time just, you know, as you say, just to
What's going on here? Who's experiencing that? Because, yeah, I think as we've been pointing out in practice a lot lately, that nothing matters except removing ourselves out of conditioning's land back into the land of living.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Just coming back to the land of living.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jim.
The email class yesterday like really created a lot of resistance for me, and it's even right now I'm just really struggling with it and kind of suffering and in a difficult place, and it's ironic too because the email class before that. Was very supportive, and I was reading all the responses and reading them into my recorder and making my own notes, and I was like, wow, this, of course, you know, conditioning comes along, it's like, yeah, you've got all this all figured out now, and just stay in this frame, and everything's smooth sailing from here, and some of that was just kind of around that not comparing, just in the flow.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, I'm in the flow, you know, I'm doing this, now I'm doing this, and no problems, I'm just in the flow. And I struggle a lot with procrastination, and one thing from the recitation is compassionate self-discipline that leaves no regrets. And conditioning is filling me with feelings of regret all the time, or I have those. And so I made a lot of recordings after that, kind of being in the flow, I saw some things about the process of procrastination and a lot of things about how, I've got to do a good job instead of just the result. I made a lot of recordings around that. And it was like this feeling of like when I'm doing something, I'm kind of on, not on in the way people say like, oh, I'm on now, but it's just, okay, now it's like being wound up, and then I'm constantly just looking for a break, you know, and then I'm feeling guilty when I'm taking that break, and it's like, here, I could go the whole day, and there's no on or off, you know, it's just, because I'm not trying to do a good job cleaning the bathroom, I'm just cleaning the bathroom, and so it's ironic, I went through all of that. And there was a lot of that was just be in the moment, moment by moment, and that's a good place to be. And then I saw this email class 3 about know this, then this, for the rest of your life, kind of like...
That nothing happens next.
Yeah, nothing happens next. And I was just like, that's too much. I can't do that process, even though I was living in it the day before.
Would you say that maybe that was not you having that? You know, it's true. Ego can't do that process.
I was very identified with that. It was very believable. And what came up was, when I read that, what came up was that... I may not get it perfect, but the incessant striving towards the life we think we deserve. And there's another karma definition below that one. I don't know if anyone remembers it, but that's what came up. It's like, if this, then this, and okay, then this, and then this. And I was like, that's in me, the incessant striving towards the life. And before I was here, it was, okay, I just need to get through this so I can get to the monastery. Everything's going to be okay. And then I'm learning all these things about procrastination. Oh, I can take this back home. All right, as soon as I get home, I'm going to be able to do this and this and this. And I just seeing that process and how ingrained it is in me feels, and to let go of that because I hold on to it very tightly is hard.
As we were saying in the last conversation, it's a noticing.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen something big, And then conditioned mind would want to take it now, it means something that, you know, now we got to let go of it and what that looks like and what that means. And, you know, there's just been a noticing.
Yeah. And it's especially kind of, I think, gets tangled a little bit in, you know, I don't think life wants to lay around on the couch and watch TV. and I am able to kind of be productive, but it's kind of tweezing apart, like, hey, you know, being productive to create this life that, that you think you deserve, or just doing this, like, you know, we do things at the monastery here. I'm just going to this, and then to this, and then to this, and then at some point, the body requires sleep and gets tired, and so you sleep, and
yeah.
But I kind of struggle with that, kind of like, okay, I have this desire. Conditioning wants me to lay on the couch, but also, you know, I don't want to. I'm not about building an empire, which conditioning also wants to do.
You know? So it's a great exploration.
Yeah.
You know, just finding what's the way of the heart. Mm-hmm. You know, and as we talked about, you know, just sitting still with all of it, and just watching and seeing, what arises. But you know, you're noticing that it's not about striving. You've seen that process, that the same process that would tell you that when you get to the monastery, everything's going to be resolved. And now, when you get to the monastery, now when you learn here, and it's, everything's going to be resolved out there when you, yeah.
This is the last thing I'll say, but it reminds me of this process of going to a restaurant. It's just like, oh, can't wait to get there, can't wait to get there, and look at, when's the waiter going to come, when's the waiter going to come, and then you're like, okay, when's our food going to get here, and then it's just like, you're like, okay, eating, oh, this is good, it's like, okay, when's the check, and then it's like constant, like... You know, like, and then on the way home, she's like, what did we just do? It's like,
well, the laughter tells you that it's probably something that we all have, we all know a lot about that process. And it's the process that, you know, we get to the end of our lives and go, oh my God, what happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I missed it.
Yeah. Yeah, that little restaurant goes out into,
Yeah. And so that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
You know, learning how to come back and take back that life.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rebecca.
Well, that ties in with what I was looking at in the first conversation about the conditioning, which is, so what the monastery is teaching, and I just really intend to take this everywhere, wherever I go for the rest of my life, is to question those sort of no-brainers. That to me is code for what we've been conditioned to do.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, one I've noticed is recently is I'm having trouble reading these near things, my eyes, you know, and so it's like, oh, I need to get some reading glasses. That's kind of a no-brainer.
Uh-huh.
I was like, well, and what I'm learning here is to bring every element of life into guidance,
uh-huh.
every element,
uh-huh.
which is. It's amazing what every element really means.
Every element.
You know,
that too.
I need a new bottle of conditioner.
Yeah.
Well, let's bring that into, you know, it's like whatever, everything. And so that's one of the benefits of living here is that that's part of the training. But I realize it doesn't have to be just here.
Uh-huh.
It can be, you know, everywhere in life that we take everything under to guidance, basically.
Yeah.
And the way to do that, you know, when we don't have an external guide, mm-hmm. is to sit with it in awareness, is to treat everything like a koan.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah. What's arising is that question, is that so?
Mm-hmm.
You know, with every need that presents itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then to sit with it as a koan.
Yeah.
And we have this, those who live at the monastery have this amazing opportunity to check these things out with the guide who is in the position of the heart,
mm-hmm.
as we train.
She's standing in.
She's standing in for the heart, mm-hmm. as we train to learn to do that for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
and to, you know, to just see that, see how to make that transition.
Yeah. Well, and it's also about, you know, I don't want to lose it. Just put it out. Let me see if it comes back. Turn up the glasses. Oh, yes. Because what ego wants is the answer. Well, do I need glasses or don't I?
Yeah.
Do I go get them or don't I? Mm-hmm. Okay, and then it'll go into often little tangents. Well, okay, if I get used glasses, is it better than buying new? Because then they're not going to be in the landfill.
I don't know.
So it's like, do I buy my clothes from Goodwill because that's easier on the environment? Because it, so it goes off into all these little tributaries about, you know, but it's really still about getting the answer.
Yeah.
And for those of us who are practicing, as, you know, as if our hair is on fire, it's really about, keep with our fire metaphor, to smoke out conditioning.
Uh-huh.
It's not about the answer. It's about smoking out where conditioning is hiding.
Yeah. Yeah, again, it's just so not the content.
Yeah.
We're looking at that, you know, yeah, all the little places that conditioning hides out, all those little unexamined...
Yep.
That just seems so innocuous.
Yeah.
Like a bottle of conditioner.
That's
for
why I call
sake.
It a no-brainer, right? It's a no-brainer. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just the things that, you know, I know out in the world, if I'd be in Rite Aid and I see, oh, yeah, I need that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you see why our landfills are so full.
Right.
But the other thing is, so getting back to the glasses thing is, where conditioning is hiding, where karma is hiding, is if I'm just focused on the answer, then I would miss sitting with the question that is the case in this case, perhaps. If I'm willing to table the question, getting the answer, I can sit with where what does this say about my body, my relationship with my body, if I get the glasses or if I don't. Where, you know, what is going on with the eyes? It helps me to look at ways that conditioning is separating me from my body.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
That I wouldn't take the time to let life drop in if I were just going to Rite Aid to get some cheap reading glasses, you know.
That's what dropped in. It's like it's putting us in relationship with the vehicle of our awakening.
Yep.
And stewarding it.
Yeah.
And being and just treating it with the preciousness, or, you know, as the precious loan that it is.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, rather than just, you know, letting condition take it over and destroy it.
Yeah. Exactly. Destroy it. Mm-hmm. That's where that line ends, isn't it?
Yep.
Is the body is destroyed, disease is set in, and we die of, you know, whatever kind of death. And the last thing I'll say is that when we do sit with it, the way to do that for me that I've been so enthusiastic about is keeping attention on awareness.
Mm-hmm.
That's the path to this thing I've been talking about. Mm-hmm. So I'll just move my attention to awareness, usually down here in the hara, and just sort of let it be there, and just wait. And I mean, it's a wonderful place to hang out and wait. It's fascinating. It's interesting. It's lovely. It's enlivening. It's everything.
Yeah.
And the question of the glasses is like the least important thing once I'm here.
Yeah.
And then if life has anything to drop in about that, then it happens.
Yeah. And if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, but it
always does. Yeah. I mean, like something happens because from there we're going at the pace of life.
Yeah.
And something always happens because life doesn't stand still. Life is a dynamic process.
But being there in the presence of life, in the hara, in that awareness, that's the place we can, be confident that what arises is going to support life.
Exactly.
And not conditioning.
It's just the best.
It is the best.
Okay.
Thank you all.